Did you know Vidyard powers HubSpot video for thousands of their customers across sales, marketing, and service? And agencies who partner with Vidyard deliver video services to those customers to help increase their retainers. To learn more, head over to www.vidyard.com/partners.
Welcome, everyone, to an amazing episode. I'm looking forward to this already because I've been following Bastian, who is live from Mexico. And
Hola,
he's from
hola.
hola, hola. He's from Hustler Marketing. He is one big personality. We met a couple of weeks ago through the partnerprograms.io, and straight away I knew I had to have him on the show. Welcome, Bastian. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm good. I'm looking forward to our chat. It's going to be fun.
It's definitely going to be fun. Now I'm going to read it out. You worked in restaurants and bars until you were 18. What were you doing in a restaurant and bar before you were 18? Then you were
Wow.
teaching, then you were teaching breakdancing. You've worked as a social worker. Great work to be in if you're running an agency. There's a lot. I'm sure you're using your skills there. And then you've been traveling video guy for a dating coach. Interesting. And then for a fitness coach. But then you started freelance copywriting, and that's where Hustler Marketing became. So talk to us a bit more about the copywriting you were doing, and what was that aha moment that you went, I've got to do this Hustler Marketing?
So I think I kind of stumbled into people always ask why email marketing, why e-commerce. I think I stumbled into just by being overloaded with work. So I joined, one of those job boards like Upwork, right? The platform. I started to get some gigs for freelance copywriting, and then people would just say, "Hey, can you not just write the email? Can you send them for me as well?" And then I just learned how to send them, MailChimp and all those basics. And then all of a sudden there were like clients. I was like, oh my God, I can't do this alone. And yeah, then I basically started to hire people. So it kind of tumbled into it, and it took 3 4 months. It went relatively quickly.
Amazing. How long ago was that?
About 2 years, a little more. I think I started with freelance copywriting 2017 September, and then I know that in January 2018 we got our first e-commerce client, and that's when I hired Olin, who's currently our head of HR as well.
Amazing. You work with what type of clients? You said e-commerce, but kind of what type of clients do you work with then?
So e-commerce stores. Currently, we are aiming to get a little higher brands, and but like at the moment they are between, let's say, 1 and 10 million in revenue annually. We have a few smaller stores as well and a few bigger ones, but we're really looking for those bigger ones in the goals now. We want to have at least one or several $100 million stores as our clients. But yeah, slowly, slowly we're getting there.
And what kind of results and work and improvements do you do for these clients?
I'd say we kick ass. There's one brand that we work with, BlendJet. It's a funny story. So for last Black Friday, we send out so many emails that Klaviyo banned us. I think we send out like, I don't know, like 20, no, like 4 million emails, or I don't know, in the millions, like in that 1 month. And then we created, I think, $600,000 of extra revenue for them in 30 days through email, which
Whoa,
is mind-blowing. Yeah,
that's mind
it's
blowing.
really good.
What makes you guys different from anyone else who's doing this? What's the secret?
I'd say email, and by the way, if I bounce on the interviews because I
I
have
know
that
you've got a
bouncy
ball.
ball,
Yeah, that's
yeah,
okay.
it's really
Before
good.
I'll say it again before you guys call. Bastian is doing something that I am very jealous of. He is in Mexico. It is warm. It is like very warm. And he is on his Instagram, he is doing some of his meetings because he's got a great team where he's got the shorts on and he's not wearing a t-shirt. So I'm very grateful for that Bastian has dressed up for this call if you're watching it on
Yeah,
YouTube.
we have to have a t-shirt on for
Yes, he's
throwback, of
been very
course.
professional today by putting on a t-shirt. So bounce away on the ball. It's good for your posture.
It's really great. I mean, this is watched by agency owners and business people. It's really good because if you sit all day, like back pain, like it sucks.
Yeah. So, and you use your core, you use your quads. Mm. It's very good.
And it's fun and you can bounce on the interviews and it's like, makes your life a little
You entertain fun, yourself, mate. That's whatever it's whatever makes you happy. You but back to your secret sauce.
Yeah, email is not sexy, right? So that's the trick. Most agencies actually do like all the services kind of all in one, right? They would do ads, SEO, email. And then email is the easy place to kind of not put too much attention on because it's kind of old school and some people say email is dead. Mm. So I think this perception makes it so that not many people actually go into depth with email, but you have so many things that are just underdeveloped in most brands. One is spam. Right. So most people that send emails never do regular spam checks. There are services where you can, it's basically seed inboxes. It's going to be a little technical, but hopefully everybody watching will follow. So basically from your domain, you send emails to those seed inboxes and that tells you whether Gmail places you into spam or promotions or primary or where you hit. So, and that's super easy. Right. And most companies never even heard of that. They never did that. Wow. Right. They just send the blast newsletter to the entire list. No segmentation. I mean, we could go into depth, but if you know those technical things, spam, segmentation, deliverability, you can create insane revenue. It's just ridiculously different.
Are you using any?
This is one of them.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Are you using any of the AI tools like 7sense or timing or anything or learn those yet?
In terms of that, like we mostly use Klaviyo. So in terms of timing and the sort of more sophisticated things, they have like incorporated a lot of this. Like you have crazy split sending options, like it can send emails like in batches, in different time zones, and like it's crazy, like it's super sophisticated. So a lot of that can be done through the platform, but we don't use too many external softwares besides those things for testing and some things for design email development, but not really in terms of AI. No.
Amazing. You have built this incredible agency, and I want to talk to you about some of the points that you've got. You've got 30 people there right now.
Yeah.
And I want to hear, how have you created a team that would kill for you? And what does that actually mean? What are you guys up to?
I love talking about our team because I think like agency, it's like it's a people business, right? That's all you do. Like you sell people's time. Right, which is crazy to look at it, right? So you gotta take care of your people, and honestly, as much as it's a thing of pride for me right now, it's also a bit of a pain because we still don't do, in my opinion, enough revenue per employee, right? As maybe the agencies in the US, so it's still quite a struggle, right? But we're working on that. But in terms of team, there are many things that you can draw from the big business world. I read many books. One of the most interesting ones are The Great Game of Business by Jack Stack and Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. Basically, they even talk about examples such as factories, right? But like it can translate into agency because one of the things that I got from those people is daily huddles, right? Where you meet with your team every single day with your core, right? And in those 15, 30 minutes a day, you can not only troubleshoot all the current issues, you can even joke around, you can encourage them, you can see who's struggling, see who needs help. So you can do a lot with that. And you know how to create a team that would kill for you? First, you need to give a damn. Like you really need to give a damn about them. And then, you know, they give a damn about you and your agency.
Yeah. Where are they all located? Because I know you just spent 3 years in Barcelona, was that right? And so you were living there. I'm not going to make any guess at your where you actually were, like where are you from originally? Where did you spend most of your time before Barcelona?
I was traveling a lot. I'm from Slovenia. I'm from Slovenia. I moved out when I was, I don't know, 22 after university or 23, did a year in London, 2 years around the world with those coaches and all that. And Barcelona was the longest stop, 2.5 years there. It's a lovely city.
It's beautiful. Yeah, right? Beautiful place.
Great. And then in terms of our people, mostly Europe. So Italy, Bulgaria, Germany, Estonia, just like all these European countries. And then we also have some people in the US, mostly copywriters. And we have also some people in Asia. So a few in Kuala Lumpur, Philippines, but it's mostly Europe, I would say 25. Yeah, let's say 23, 25 people is in Europe.
Right. And what was that? You woke up one morning and you went, I need to go to Mexico. What brought that on?
Oh, I mean, you live in Ireland, right?
Yeah,
it's dark there, right?
Yeah, it has been 3 weeks of hailstones.
Do you know? It's cold and dark, and I don't like that.
No, like me neither.
You know, so living a remote, it's a remote work, so I can work from anywhere. So Mexico right now, it's super warm. It's lovely. Yeah. You know, they have great food. So yeah, why not?
Have you found it? Has it been easy enough? For anyone who's listening to the show,
absolutely.
I just spent 10 weeks in Cape Town, and I found it extremely easy to, I had my internet, I had a great apartment, I had great food, I had a gym, I could move my life very easily. Have you found that the same in Mexico?
Yes, but I would say it's also a part of, and I think that it's the same for you. You gain experience as you travel, and you learn that, yeah, like I need to make sure that I have good internet, gym is nearby. What about food, right?
Yeah.
and also not like travel week by week. It's like one week I'm
get
here.
A base. And, yeah. Get a base, set up, get camp. Once you get the basics, they're kind of like the foundation stones. And then you can have fun. That's awesome. So you recommend Mexico as a place to set up?
Yeah, I would try South Africa. I've never been. I would definitely try it. In the winter, there's not so many good options, to be honest. We talked about that. If you want, really not, like, because like Mexico is a little dangerous. Do you know what I mean? There's still some crime stuff going on, you know, and I hear about that. I'm like, wow, like I never felt that in Europe or Asia or US, right?
Right, okay.
So that's one thing.
Okay. Good to know. I'll send you, I did a video on my kind of private channel of what it was like in Cape Town, what I experienced and some of the art and the sea and stuff. I'll send you the channel so you can check it out, because winter in Europe is their summer. So it's all geared up. It's not quiet. It's very tourist season. So it's got a good buzz about it. So good to know. Good to know about Mexico. I'm always adding places onto my list. I have a fabulous agency in Santiago, IDS, that I've worked with, husband and wife team. So there's an offer there on the table to get myself over to Chile. Whenever I can manage
about,
that.
About here is like the, you know, like one thing that's insane is like the color of the water, because it's like the Caribbean, right?
Right,
it's like it's like movie. It's like you're watching a movie. It's ridiculous. Like it's crazy.
That's beautiful. Is it warm, the water?
It's super warm.
Okay, like, cool. Yeah, because the water wasn't warm in South Africa. I got a fright.
You don't like cold water. Huh?
I don't do cold water. I'm very spoiled. I like it kind of like bath temperature.
Sure.
Good to know. Okay, well, we're adding more places onto the list, which is great. Another thing that you've really nailed in your agency is focusing on your epic service. So you talk to us more about that, like your you know, really getting your service down and sales second, because that's an interesting one. A lot of people go sales and forget about service, but talk to us about how you built that.
I think service is the first one, and personally before sales, because if your service is really strong, you just get referrals, right? And people love your stuff. So I still think there's so many things that we need to nail with our service right now, but I think we are already pretty good. I'd say it's all about the processes. So what happens, like you literally need to go, what happens from day one when the client sends the money, what happens? Who welcomes them? Do they know what's happening? Do they know the plan, manage expectations? And then from there to, you know, their first meeting, when's that kickoff call happening? And then to start delivering results, keep them posted about the results, and then be very responsive when fires happen, because problems always happen. So what's your system of, hey, when a problem happens, who's responsible? Who talks to the client? When? So I mean, there's just there's just a lot. And for that to happen, I think one of our core differences as well is that our account managers, they don't manage a ton of accounts. So one would have two or three accounts, right? So they would work with two or three stores only. So they really know the strategy, the design, the copy, they do all the communication. So I think one part of our success is that we have really good training. So awesome. The candidates go through like 2 months of training, like 30 hours of internal library, like pretty cool stuff.
Brilliant.
And then as a result, we have an account manager that's not just, you know, like they're smart, responsive, great English, and they know strategy, right? So it's, yeah, I think that's important.
That's really good. And that's something that has happened with agencies as well. They go out and they sell and then they get a client and then they sell and they get a client. But not having a solid service structure, communication, handover, everything that you described there, if something goes wrong and a salesperson has to get involved, that makes them shaky in selling. Subliminally,
the salesperson is the CEO a lot of the time, still.
Right?
The founder,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Sucks.
Yeah, exactly. So that can make you go, oh God, if we get this client, can we service it? And that energy kind of spooks you out for a while until you get it. No, it's okay. We have that. So, you know, of course, you've got to focus on sales in the beginning, but as soon as possible, getting everything tight and nailed so that the salesperson has super confidence all the time in what they're selling. They can't have any cracks. You know that. You've probably had that. You can't have any cracks because you've got to represent the company, you know. So I love that you've got that emphasis on services. It's so important. Tell us more as well about something that you're doing, a mini pitch to potential partner agencies. Talk to me about how you're partnering with people.
Yeah, and just one more thing about the. Oh wait, I forgot it already. Did I? It was super interesting, but then
the service and cracking
Yeah. It's not just that the salesperson will get a bad vibe also, but like you also lose money, right? You also lose money because onboarding is the most difficult part of the process, right? So if you need to get new clients in, clients drops, clients in, it's really bad, you know,
hard
to predict cash flow. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Partnerships.
Yeah.
They're great. Partnerships are great. Partnerships are great. We have currently, I'd say, two, three agencies. One of them is the premier partner with complementary services, right? So they do paid traffic, SEO, CRO, and website development, and we do email. So we can send each other stuff, and it's really great. A lot of our new business is referral now. I would like to change that, though. I don't think referrals are a predictable way to scale a business. So
they can be nice when everything's going well for that agency, when they're in a good space and there's a good headspace, but it's not, they're not sometimes if something happens in their world, it's the first thing they forget about because it's all hands on deck back to their business. It can be like it's not consistent, like you said, because there isn't a consistent flow on it. I talk about this all the time, having a BDR as a business development rep, somebody who is doing prospecting and outreach, has a job, one job to do every day. They come in and their job is pipeline. You know, and when you can afford that, that's when you can be in a great place because that can keep the consistency. Referrals are great.
Do you split that between a marketing person and a salesperson, or for you it's all BDR?
If you do split it, you need to split their physical time. So you say to them, you have 2 days a week where you are only doing sales. You are not allowed to touch marketing. You have 2 days where you're doing marketing. You're not allowed to do. So you can do follow-ups if they're a thing. Because what happens is if somebody who is involved in sales, you're going to know this yourself. We all have it. If you go in the morning and your whole job is, I'm going to make 50 outreaches. I'm going to do, you know, 5 sales calls, and a fire goes off, there's a, you know, a customer thing, the sales go. But because you have you have another thing to do. If you have a salesperson doing marketing as well, the tendency can be, I'll do the sales calls after I do the marketing because I like the marketing. The marketing is easy. It's like, oh, but the goal is in like a terrier, get the sales done, and they can do the marketing on another day or at the end of the day after they've achieved their numbers. But ideally, you really need someone who is
two people.
Just hunger. Yeah, that's all do. Nothing can stop them. They can't go, oh, I had to get that campaign out, because you'll be like, oh, torn, you know? So sales for sales. Yeah, just sales for sales. That's it. That's how I look at it.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good to know. You're on the hunt for, like, one of the things that you said in your agency as well is about finding intelligent people that crush it. So you don't have to sell your kidneys to afford it. You don't need to sell your kidneys to afford it. No. Talk to us about the people that you're actually looking to grow the team right now, and how do you find them, and what are you looking for? Who, if somebody's listening to this and they like the sound of you and what you're doing in your business, who are you looking for?
There's two or three key positions. So head of service, meaning overviewing all client services, basically talking to our 25, 30 clients and overseeing account managers. So that's a senior level position. Marketing director, but we have some solid picks, but let's see if we'll take any the moment. And then always account managers, right? So if you're somebody who doesn't have yet an agency, maybe one day you would like to, account managers always welcome, right? Write us an email. Olin will take care of you. And good designers and copywriters also always needed and wanted. Yeah.
Awesome. That's really cool. Now, you've had a couple of aha moments in the business. Tell us more about the mentor that you're working with, or if you still work with him, Tim, and when he taught you how to use a sales deck. I'd love to hear a bit more about that. And tell us about Tim. Who's Tim?
Tim is great. Tim Kilroy.
I need to connect Tim. You know Tim's Tim? Coming. There don't you worry. Go. Don't you worry, Bastian. I'm all over this stuff. Tim's coming on the show.
Fantastic.
But thank you. I welcome any guest recommendations. If anyone's listening to this and Clodagh should talk to this person. Tim, I've been following him for a while. I love his material. Tell us more about his business.
He's a great guy, and I'll tell you about him. But before that, I think mentoring is a big part of our success. We also work with a psychologist / psychotherapist. Like, literally, management board talks to her all the time.
Brilliant.
I have a 2-hour call before her. So that, and we have mentors for our designers, mentors for copywriters. It's crazy. It's all
good.
Mentors. We spend.
Yeah. Good. Because that's what's keeping the people management, the psychology of your business
going.
Have you seen Billions? Have you watched the?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
right. So
it.
Do you remember her, the girl, the psychologist, right?
That's
I just had that vision of that. Is that what she's like in your business?
that's what I'm trying to mold her into, right? She's kind of resisting.
A performance coach, but also counselor, like kind of listen to your problems, but get you moving again. And that's incredible. Yeah, that's I had that vision. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Uh-huh. It's really crazy. There's so many, you know, difficult things that you need to talk with your colleagues, employees, co-founders. Yeah. It's crazy, and most people don't. So that's interesting. About Tim, I think, and you'll get to know him, so I won't go too deep, but I think a big part of why he's that good is, first of all, he just cares. He's like, you can feel it. He's a really caring person, but he has experience from both running an agency and hiring an agency, right? So I think he was working in a Wayfair at some exact positions.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Right. $1 billion company. So he needed to hire agencies, and he ran 2 or 3 and sold a few. So he's a great guy. He's really a great guy.
And he taught you how to use a sales deck.
Okay. So that was funny, right? If you think about your fail moment. So before, what I was doing on the sales call, right? I would log into our current client account and I would screen share that on a live sales call with the prospect, right? No NDA, like that was ridiculous. Like that was totally illegal and stupid. And I was like, oh yeah, it's cool. You know, if I show them the live numbers, they'll believe me, right? that was not the way to do it. Sales deck works much better. It's just structured way. You know, you start with a bunch of questions, really understand their business, then crazy case studies, you know, show them your process, workflow, pricing, all that. Like, it's just great.
You have now a structure, you've got a format for it. And then you guide going, this is how we work with people. This is our process. This is our secret sauce. These are the results that we get. You have that on a deck and you walk them through it. Do you do the video as well so that you can see their body language and, and hear what they're...
I usually always do a video. It's just like I ask them, right? Are you cool with video? And most people are. Super good idea. And what also sells like helps you to transfer it. We hired a sales guy recently, so now he can just use that same thing. So do you know what I mean? It's a no-brainer.
That's
you
really
can't
good.
Go without.
But so you learned the mistake before about showing the results. I love the way you're. I love the way you're going. If you're not watching the video, guys, he's rolling his eyes at himself.
Check it. Yeah, it's crazy.
And then another mistake, because we, you know, there's the highs, there's the fun time of running an agency, but we also like to talk about mistakes. So thanks for sharing that one and how you rectified it. But share with us a little bit more about the other mistake that you made in the business about raising the management salaries too early.
Oh yeah.
What happened there?
So, we were at a solid revenue number, right? And then we're like, oh, this is great. Let's raise everybody's salaries, right? And also my management guys were kind of pushing me without knowing it a little bit. Hey, we want more money, right? And I was like, yeah, fuck it. We're growing. Let's raise it. And then the next month we lost money and the month after we lost money as well. And I was like, well, this sucks. Like this was a bad move, right? Mm. Then when I needed to cut those salaries again, like they weren't happy, right? They're like, oh, like one guy literally left the room because we were together at that point. He was like, well, fuck. And that's where a lot of that psychologist help, you know, working with our mentor help. It was right back in the day, I was not realizing that, yes, they were kind of pushing me towards there. And not because they're bad people. Like, I mean, it's cool. Like you want more money. That's great. But it was a bad move as the business owner to authorize that because we had one or two really good months.
Yeah, right? With no incentive and no reason and just because.
No vision. It's like, right, oh, wow, we had so much profit this month and now we can just raise everybody's salary. Like, And also seasonality, right? Not all months are the same.
Okay.
And then after that, we actually reduced the whole company salary as well. This is how you structure your payment and salary. It's incredibly complex. We hired some people as well to help us there. And one of the people said, look, if there was one best system of how to pay people, everybody would use it, right? So it's like, it does not exist, right? Yeah. Hourly, fixed fee, it just doesn't exist. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And in the end, so the mistake was increasing them too early. We fixed it. I wanted to just to follow up that then we need, like not needed to, but then I cut salaries of everybody else, and as a result nobody left, right? Like it's still very good money but it also sucked, you know. And again, psychologist talks help there to make me ready to have a one-on-one with everybody and saying, listen, this is gonna go down, we're gonna change it,
but this is why, this is what it means. You know, we're not doing it. What are the vision, the business, why we're building it? Transparency and helping people understand the mechanics of an agency. You hear that over and over again, you know, and one employee in your business, they might be paid $5,000 a month. They see a retainer coming in that's $20,000 a month. And in their head, they're like, oh, Boston's got, you know, 15 grand. And it's like, no, Boston's got like 19 grand to pay out and has $1,000, you know? Once they understand all the all the expenses that are involved, the collective of the wages, and that time is money. So if they're more productive and they're getting good results for clients, then they really understand. Well done for navigating that you could reduce the salaries, have a conversation with them, give them transparency and keep the team. Like that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it was not fun.
I can't imagine it was any fun. Yeah. No, but you got through that. Another mistake that you've just mentioned as well, I'd love to, there's two more here, and thank you for sharing these.
I don't mind.
Yeah, this really does help people because they do make mistakes like this and they might be about to, you know, paying for traffic too early is another one that you did.
Here's a secret.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you. I think it's very useful. when you interview people, that's what distinguish A players from B players. You ask them about when they fucked up and about their weak sides. Mm-hmm. And people hate talking about that, you know, mostly in general.
Well, you were prepared for it because it was a question in my pre-questionnaire form. So you knew it was coming. Yeah, I mean, surprise people.
Yeah, I can talk about this all day. Like there's so many things. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's because this is really, because if you're honest and if you really look at your stuff, like you see, you know yourself the best. You know where you're kind of leaving stuff on the table. It's so many, right? So you said paid traffic, right?
Yeah, you said you started paying for that too early. What happened in that scenario?
So we talked about how referrals are not a scalable way, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't grow like this, and this makes sense. Great idea. I talked about it with team as well. So it's like, okay, we need paid traffic. We need somewhere where I can open the pipe, get the leads, right? And then we tried Facebook, right? And I don't know any agency, at least I personally don't know them, that they have a running funnel that would work really well. I've heard of them, but I don't know anybody personally. And then over 4 or 5 months, we lost around 20K. Not crazy, but still solid
money.
Right. And as a result of that, there were like a few bad leads and no closed sales. And that sucked, you know. Mm. And I still think it was great that we did it because I don't want to stay on the. I read a great case study by HubSpot. If you have a chance, you can check it. I think it was some agency report 219. I have a file somewhere. It's like it was a freebie, but they made. I think most agencies rely on referrals. It's like 70% relies on referrals. But it's dumb. It's like it's like you can't. There's no security, safety, growth. Nope. It doesn't work, nope. Right? So you have to nail lead gen. You have to nail it, and it's hard. We still don't have it consistent, but we're never gonna stop because if we don't nail it, like you die. Like
that's it. Yeah. And yeah, referrals. You're right. I think I have that report. It was about the agency community, and I have all their pain points and that. I do that. We can put the link in here. I do actually have that. And the thing with referrals is because agency owners, they're charismatic, they're talky people. They love networking and connecting and having the chats and very open about, oh, well, that's a good fit client for you. That is easy. What is not easy is coming into the office, ignoring everything and going prospecting and picking up the phone and doing cold calls. That's uncomfortable, you know? So referrals are easy. So you were doing sales solo for too long, right? How have you, right? Which is another thing. I see agency owners do this all the time, hanging on to that sales baton way too long. Yeah. And what did you do to release that from you? How have you managed to get some help?
It's very recent, actually. It's been like about a month. No, awesome. Not even 3 weeks. The new guy is in and he already closed like two sales that I would, I don't know if I would. And, wow. And they're big. Yeah, he's great. He's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where did you find him?
They're like pins to personal network.
Oh, perfect. Network. Okay. And what's he doing for you? What is he doing?
So currently it's sales and prospecting, but as soon as the marketing director comes in, I hope that we can reduce the prospecting part and just do a lot of sales.
Yeah, because the marketing director will bring in these warm leads and start to do that. Brilliant. Okay.
Prospects, right? And currently he's just in touch with all the past year of, you know, whatever, unclosed contacts. All the referrals go to him. He's getting into Upwork and the other lead gen ways that we do, which is content posting on Facebook groups. This is very powerful because there's a bunch of these huge e-com groups. So like people start to know us there. And then a bit of LinkedIn stuff as well. So all of that is literally going to him.
Amazing.
And another mistake was that I tried to get a sales guy before, which was October last year, and I tried to get somebody from the inside, which is somebody who's currently also our CFO, finance guy, but he didn't have the skills, right? He didn't have the skills or the time. So that was a big mistake because he didn't close a few leads that he could. And And then because I was like, nothing happened out of that, then I just continued with the sales for another 4 months, which was just dumb.
And how different is life now that you have that person doing sales?
Oh, wow. It's great. That's why I want to hire more people. I finally figured out that like I should.
Yay! Yeah. You should not be wearing all the hats.
No.
For anyone who's listening to this for a long time, I have not paid Boston to say these things. This is all the stuff I teach agencies to do as a business coach for them. I'm like, you're wearing too many hats. Release the hats. You have to, you know, like get people in so that you can change. It's great. I can see it in you. You're, I didn't know you before the sales guy, but just the minute you talked about it, I can know it's making a good difference. So with that, one of the things that I've noticed, because I've been following you now for a couple of weeks on Instagram, you've got a great account. You're so bubbly. You do some really good stuff. You're in the gym, all the stuff that I, you know, love to do. You've got your smoothies. It's like looking at, you know, basically another version of my life. But one thing I've noticed you doing, you're like really focused on like dedicated focus time. So you're using some daily habit tracking and planning your day. Talk to us about that.
That's awesome. I really love that. It's a bit of a passion of mine. I was coaching people on that a little bit. I had like two small groups, you know, and all those guys are now crushing it too. But yeah, I think that there's two pillars. One is plan your day every day. A good example is in the Ultimate Sales Machine by some author that I forgot. It's like you really nail out the whole plan of your day, everything you need to do in the time slots, right? Mm-hmm. So plan your day and then habit. So I've been tracking habits for like 4 years. I can tell you how much I've slept like last June 5th or something, right? So that helps you because it's so easy to forget, right? Or to... When you have that hard, long day, like you don't wanna, you know, do anything. So habit tracking is key. And in terms of focus hours, that's insane. Like social media, and even when people tell you stuff, like, and I hate to use this word, but people are a lot of the times full of shit. It's like, I worked for 12 hours. Sure you did. Like,
it's, no, you like, were you, sitting in front of a laptop for 12 hours.
Do you know what I mean? Like. It doesn't, or scrolling on Facebook and stuff, and it really matters. Like the focus time, I think if you can pull between 4 and 6 focused time a day, that's a lot already.
That's amazing. Yeah, and that's way more productive than sitting in front of a laptop, hopping around as well. I've been reading Cal Newport's material. You know, going being in an email and then hopping over to a proposal and then getting on a call and then answering something on Slack. The downtime between those activities, your brain doesn't learn how to jump.
It kills you. Yeah, yeah. You lose time.
You lose a lot of time. So they're great tips as well. Another question I always ask, and you had the funniest answer I'll ever seen in my whole life. How do you balance your agency life with your personal relationship?
I said Tinder. Yeah.
I guess you picked up a lot of tips when you were working with those dating coaches. I'd love to know who they were.
I did.
You have some insider information. So I take it you're single, having a grand old time in Mexico. You still have fun.
Pretty fun. Yeah, it's pretty fun. I can't complain.
Yeah, I can definitely get that from your Instagram account. You're not like, I can see the focus you do. I've just done 4 hours and you come on and then you're like, no, I'm going to go out. We're going to do something. You know, you're going to play. You're going to go to the gym. You know, there is an importance of having the time as well. Like you've got your bubble. You know what works for you. And it doesn't matter where you move it. You're preferably moving it to a warm place.
I think may help people is... I think August last year was first time where I took 1 week holiday in 2 years. And now I'm like, all my weekends are free mostly, right? December was pretty chill. So I think at some point, like if you're now in a stage where you're like you're grinding every day, even on the weekends, like kind of hang in there. Cause like there's a better point coming when you get, as you said, when you get that team around you that can take over some of the workload, right? It gets better and easier. But you also have the responsibility for that because there's also people that grind in an agency for years and they grow, but they just grow at the extent of killing themselves even more.
You know,
it's sad. It's
yeah,
difficult.
It is sad. You did something incredibly cool that I just loved, because Christmas can be a tough time of year. Sometimes, you know, it can be very kid-centered, family-centered, you know, snow, Santa, drinking, all that kind of thing. But you did something really different this year. You went on a yoga retreat, right?
Yeah. I went to not yoga, meditation. It's called Vipassana. Uh-huh. It's kind of hardcore. Like, you don't speak to anybody for 10 days. Like, you wake up. Yeah. It's crazy. You wake
up. The opposite of a normal Irish Christmas.
It's insane. It's insane. But it was good. I had some like personal events before that as well. So I needed to like kind of recenter and do that. And yeah, just to bypass all that. Because like, it's nice, the family time, but there's also a lot of emotional ups and downs.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
What's the best party I'm going to go to?
Yeah.
You know, who loves me, my closest people. And then at the end of that, at least personally, I was a lot of the time just drained and irritated and you know, chubby.
Yeah, chubby. So, yeah. Yeah, right. And bloated, chubby,
and
emotionally provoked by various different family and physical and events that are going on. I saw that. It was a really good idea. Like, I was away this year for Christmas and it was really cool. So I you know, if you can, it doesn't, because it comes so quickly. Like, I certainly wasn't ready for the last Christmas. I was just like, hang on. Haven't we just done this 2 months ago? What's this carry on? Because we move so fast in our world.
Super fast.
Yeah, I loved that idea. I think take the advice, you know, change things up, get away, do some meditation, do a yoga.
And for an agency person, it's one of the rare times when you can.
I know, because it is downtime. Yeah, clients do actually stop calling you. Like, it is actually really
great,
good.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, really cool. Bastian, this has been an absolute pleasure. We're going to leave with one last tip. You've got a killer tip for agencies. There's somebody out there and they're like, oh my God, you know, I'm struggling. I need some help. What am I doing anymore? But you've got a great tip for agencies.
Get mentors.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
You can't do it on your own. It's too complex a business. You need someone to help you through it. And I can see, you know, I didn't know you before, but I know a happy agency owner when I see them. I've spoken to hundreds of them over the years. And man, you are killing it. You've got amazing energy. I wish you all the best in your business. How would people get a hold of you? If there's someone here who's in e-commerce who needs help with their emails, or you're somebody who wants to go, can I work with this group of people? Because trust me, they're having a great time. How would they get in touch with you? What's the best way, Bastian?
Yeah, just email me. So it's Bostjan, Bastian at hustlermarketing.com, or just check our website and then find some emails there and email somebody. And yeah, we'll have a chat.
Spectacular. And I'll put the link, all of this in our show notes as well, which will be available in a few weeks. So thank you so much for being on the show. Stay cool in Mexico and enjoy the time that you're down there.
Thanks for having me, Clodagh.
No worries. Do you know why video works? It helps you stand out in a crowded inbox. You can establish connections to build trust, and it helps you to accelerate and close deals. Become a Vidyard agency partner today by heading on over to vidyard.com/partners.